a little bit of Creedence Clearwater for you this morning. We got to get, I don't know, the blood flowing again a little bit. I think everybody's in a state of shock, and we're freezing out. Good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy, trying to unfreeze. And along with my partner and buddy, Big Ed Davis, thank you for joining us. It is Tuesday, January the 12th. We will be talking in a few minutes with Julian Sanchez of the Cato Institute about the deplatforming of Parler, and I guess you could say of Donald Trump, the internet censorship of Donald Trump. So that should be very interesting. Stay tuned for that. And the House considers two ways to oust the Donald. There's the 25th Amendment, which they're going to discuss tonight. And then there is a second impeachment, which is going to be a little bit more likely than ousting him with the amendment. We're going to get some thoughts on that and where our country is going at this point with freedom of speech and the like, with the proprietor of the Barber Poll, Andrew Sorese. I bet he's got a lot to say. And was Trump's Capitol speech of insurrection material? Really? We're going to look at a Supreme Court ruling that begs to differ. And believe it or not, it was in regards to the Ku Klux Klan and what they had said. So stay tuned for that as well. And in our ultimate top 10, a few shows back, we gave you the top 10 metro areas people were moving into last year. Turnabout being fair play. The top 10 metro areas people moved out of last year. This is according to United Van Lines, who moves people in and out. So I would think it would be fairly accurate. By the way, we are sponsored in part by Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. It is, for my money, the best place you men can go for a haircut. Just call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. Again, 733-3773. They're Tuesday through Saturday. You can come in. So they're closed on Monday and Sunday. But they're in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. All right. Boy, oh boy. They can't wait to get Trump out. They can't wait till January 20th. They got to get him out as quickly as they can. With only 8 days left in Trump's term, the House is barreling towards a second impeachment vote tomorrow. As the outrage about the role of President Trump in the storming of the Capitol building apparently continues, particularly for those that hated Trump to begin with. So two major steps coming up tonight, the 25th Amendment vote. Now, what they're going to try to do is convince Vice President Mike Pence that his president is nutso, and therefore we have to take him out, because God knows what he will do. He might be able to sneak into that other room and find that red button, you know, the one that will blow up the world. I think there's one. You ever see any of those movies where there's a button somewhere that if the guy can get to it, so you try to stop him. The hero is fighting him, and he's trying to reach, and you get the camera shot with the red button, and the guy's hand's getting, you know what I'm talking about. Well, we don't want that to happen.
But let's incite fear anyway.
Yeah, exactly. So they'll be voting on that tonight about 7:30. Well, Pence will say no thank you, and that'll take care of that, okay? We already know that. So the next thing is tomorrow they're going to vote on impeachment number two. And that won't work for a number of reasons. Number one, you're not going to get two-thirds of the Senate to say, yeah, throw them out. They won't do that. Number two, I don't even think the Senate will have time to vote on it before he leaves. It's like saying, hey, let's take a vote on throwing this guy out of the party, and he walks out the door already. Well, you're not going to need to. He's gone. But they want to make sure he never comes back again, right? That's what they're trying to do. So there's this guy, Raskin, the Democrat, is the one that technically proposed the impeachment. And they will take up the Raskin legislation in regular order. Oh, I'm sorry. That is Raskin was the one that is asking Pence to go in and tell Donald to leave. You also have to get a bunch of his cabinet to think that he needs to leave, too. So you're not going to get any of that. And so, of course, Nancy Pelosi, she's so sanctimonious. Isn't she the most sanctimonious thing you've ever seen? I don't know what it is about her. Every time I see her on television, I picture her in a clown suit. I don't know why. Nice looking clown suit, but it's in a clown suit. So that's what is going on. Now, Donald Trump has acknowledged, according to Fox News, that he does indeed bear some blame for the riot into the Capitol. Apparently, he talked with House Republican leader Kevin McCarthy and said, I probably went over the top a little bit, basically. Two sources say that McCarthy relayed the president's sentiment on a call to the House GOP conference. And I would think that Trump would feel a little bit guilty, don't you, Ed? He got him going a little bit. He always said peaceful protest, but he didn't. I don't know if when they broke in a little bit, I wonder if in his own way he was a little bit, there were two emotions going on. One was fear of what they're doing, and the other one was a little bit, just a touch of satisfaction that, I don't know.
Yeah, a little bit. I'm sure he didn't want them to break down the door.
No, and the killings.
But there were reports that have been substantiated that the Capitol Police had opened the doors.
Yeah,
they took photos with some of the people with MAGA hats on.
We talked about that yesterday, and I wondered about whether or not they technically opened the doors. I didn't see any of that. Did you see a video where they?
The only door they showed broken was the barrier between that and going to the next step. The front doors were not.
Did you see a video of a door being opened from the inside or anything?
From the inside, no, I haven't seen that.
Yeah, I haven't seen any door, anything like that. I mean, let's be honest, they broke in. We could see it. They broke through the windows. They did it. And most of them were Trump supporters, let's be honest. I think there was others that would vandalize if they ever got a chance on either side. It didn't make any difference. There are those too. They just like to get in. You know what I mean? They're out there just to do harm.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, McCarthy on this call, on the conference call with the Republicans, agreed that Trump bore blame for the unrest that sent Congress into a lockdown. I did see some of those internal shots, and it was pretty bad what was going on in there. The more videotape you see from that thing, there was a lot of people out there. There was the fighting. We know about, what was it, 5 people that died in this thing? And so there's no question. It was a bloody mess. The question is whether or not we should be hanging Trump out to dry because of it. And that's where I think it falls apart.
Should it be because the mayor yesterday called this, the mayor of Washington, D.C. called it domestic terrorism?
Well, when you break into the Capitol building and kill people, I would say there's something to that, don't you?
Well, the other part is that I'm wondering, what about in Seattle, in Oregon?
Of course.
That group that actually seized an entire city block?
And kept it for weeks.
Yeah, and they refused to call that domestic terrorism.
No, it is.
Well, they refused.
There's no question about it.
I remember Nancy Pelosi saying that
it's
not.
The press is one-sided about it. They vandalized the federal building in Portland.
Right.
Portland was in smoke and fire for how many weeks?
Right. But they refused to call it domestic terrorism.
That's not domestic terrorism? Of course it was. Of course it was. There was no question. Okay. Anyway, we're going to talk a little bit more now about censorship, the deplatforming of Parler and Donald Trump.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey guys, Andrew's Master Barber Shop is open for business. The best hair cutter in Tampa Bay, standing ready to make you look like a million. But you'll need to call to grab a time that's right for you. So call 733-3773. That's 733-3773. And then get ready for a treat. No waiting, beautiful, clean, and safe facilities. The best haircut you'll ever experience, and a great price. You can't ask for more, guys. That's Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. Call 733-3773. That's 733-3773.
Hello there, Tampa Bay. This is former NFL and college football coach Jimmy Johnson. Listen to the Kelly Philly Show every Monday starting at 5 p.m. They can sure use the attention.
And this is former Major League Baseball player, Hall of Famer Wade Boggs. I also hope you listen to the Kelly Show every Monday starting at 5 p.m. They can darn sure use the money.
Hi there. This is Marine Wildlife Artist and Conservationist Dr. Guy Harvey. Please listen to the Kelly Show every Monday starting at 5 p.m. They need to feel worthy.
Listen to the latest pet trends with benefits on the Pet Buzz every Saturday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Join pet trendologist Charlotte Reed and veterinarian Dr. Michael Fleck as they talk all things pets, from animal health and wellness, money-saving tips, celebrity gossip, breaking news, and more. Their expert guests are in the know and in the now. To learn more about this unique program and its hosts, tune into the show on the Tan Talk Radio Network.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back. Thank you so very much for joining us here. I want to make sure that I also remind you to listen to Good Morning Clearwater, Monday through Friday, 8 to 10 a.m. here on the Tan Talk Radio Network. Paul and Tracy Allen, let them start off your day. Latest in news and entertainment. Paul's a bit of a sports nut. I think Paul does some, does he do Las Vegas gambling? I think he does. He does a little bit of that. But they also can create beautiful banners and posters and flyers for you if you need them. And if you would like to find out more about it, give them a call, 727-330-3212. Well, delighted to have Julian Sanchez join us. He is a senior fellow at the Great Cato Institute. And I can't think of a better organization, Julian, to talk with when it comes to censorship. And we certainly have that going on with that platform Parler, which I did not know much about, to be honest with you. I'm not big on getting on Twitter or Facebook or anything like that. But apparently Parler is home to a lot of conservatives that like to share their views. But now, I guess you could call them the big three, Amazon, Apple, and Google are basically cutting them off. What's going on here?
Yeah, you have a series of decisions made in a fairly short order to restrict access to Parler in the aftermath of the January 6th storming of the Capitol. Essentially, all these companies, so with Google and Apple, it's their app stores for Android phones and iPhones, respectively. And with Amazon, it's Amazon Web Services, which is a kind of cloud hosting service that allows you to run a platform on large scale and of adjustable scale without having to buy your own physical server to run it on. And basically all of those platforms have acceptable use policies that say some variation of you agree that your service is not going to be used for violent content, advocacy for violence, making threats or other kinds of illegal content. And they all effectively determine that by their own light, Parler was not making any effort to comply with that policy, not making any effort to trick people, saying things like it's time to execute Mike Pence or to rise up with arms to Donald Trump in office. And, we should distinguish this, I think, a little bit from individual moderation decisions. This post is not allowed, or this has violated our term. Is because I think, you have the problem that it's a very blunt instrument. Hey, this individual user has written something that we don't want to host on our platform. All right, that's limited in its effect. When they make a decision like this, of course, it affects both people who are calling for violence and doing other harmful things, and people who are using platforms to express their opinion. Now, do they have a right to do it? That's sort of a question of contract law. Parler is challenging Amazon, claiming it violates the terms of their contract. But at the end of the day, you don't have a right to someone else's property. So that's a contract law question. Did their contract allow them to immediately terminate the hosting service contract, or did they have to give 30 days notice? And at the end of the day, the thing Parler is upset about is that they've been told this without really having time to find an alternative solution. What they say is a pretty critical time.
Yeah. We're having a little bit of technical difficulty with you. I'm not sure if it's on our side or your side, but you're going in and out a little bit. But, Julian, let me ask you this. Everybody agrees that they're private companies. They can throw you off if they want for no reason or any reason. But when they conspire to throw you off, when the three of them get together and figure out a way of doing it, isn't that against the law?
That's a complicated antitrust law question. If they were conspiring, maybe. And if they were doing it for anti-competitive reasons, that is, if Twitter had encouraged, if Twitter had encouraged Google and Apple to do this in order to prevent competition with Twitter, you might have an antitrust argument there. I don't know if that's what happens here. I think it may be more of a bandwagon effect issue where one company moves first and the other company would sort of think about it and says, okay, now we have cover and we don't want to look irresponsible if something bad happens and the other companies acted and we didn't.
Okay. Excuse me. It's always apparently conservatives that are being censored. Why is the Ayatollah Khomeini got a website on one, got a platform? Seriously. He's advocating for the overthrow of countries and this and that and killing different people. I'm sure he's advocated for the death of people here in our country. Is he still on these is he still on these platforms or not?
I think he's probably
the answer
still
is yes.
On. Yeah.
Okay, you can't do it to you can't do it to Parler or Trump and not do it to him, but they're doing it.
Yeah, I assume what Twitter would say is, well, he does those things in a lot of platforms, but we have an exception. One, we have an exception for world leaders generally.
Oh,
that's
really?
Why Trump has been on as long as he has. And so they've kind of overridden their exception in this instance. I imagine what they say about the Ayatollah is, well, we'll treat it differently, we'll treat speech on our own platform. So he may call for all sorts of terrible things, but if he's not doing them on Twitter, we don't concern ourselves with that.
Okay.
That said, I agree. It's a terrible look.
Of course. Now, again, they have the right. They could keep the Ayatollah and throw out Trump if they want, I guess. We're talking with Julian Sanchez of the Cato Institute, where he is a senior fellow. He's graciously accepted our invitation to talk a little bit about the deplatforming of Parler. Now, antitrust. First of all, as a libertarian organization, I imagine you don't like to see the government get involved when some company gets just too darn big, right?
Yeah, we tend to prefer a pretty light hand.
Exactly. And you want less regulations. So that would allow for more competition, for the Amazons right. and the Twitters and the Facebooks, you know. And so here's Parler, which is some competition. I suspect if they choke out Parler, something else is going to come along at some point, mm-hmm. because you cannot stifle half the country's speech, conservative speech. Let me ask you this, Julian. Do you feel that there really is a not only a bias against conservative speech, but a fear of it on the with some of these moguls in media?
Well, I think after the six, probably there. I mean, I think there literally is a fear that people are, you know, saying things like it's time to grab the weapons and storm the Capitol. So yeah, that's certainly the case. Although I would say
that's not the only ones they're shutting down. Yeah. Go ahead.
Well, in the case of Parler, right, the unfortunate thing here is the lower in the stack your moderation decision is, the blunter a tool it ends up being. So what they're in effect doing is punishing a lot of Parler users who are not responsible for any of that, you know, in order to get the ones who are. And their argument would be, well, because Parler isn't willing to punish the ones who are doing that themselves. I think it's very hard to actually say accurately sort of what the pattern of restriction is, because everyone kind of hears about the cases that are congenial to their priors. So, you know, if you follow a lot of progressives on social media, you'll see them complaining about, well, I got banned for fighting with a literal Nazi and the Nazi didn't get punished. And if you follow conservatives, you hear a lot of stories about dubious moderation decisions targeting conservatives.
What liberals?
I don't know what the pattern is like.
What major liberals do you know of that have been banned from any of those services?
Off the top of my head, yeah. I think actually at one point David Simon, the creator of The Wire, had his account locked for a while. I mean, there are cases, it is less likely to be kind of gathered into a kind of concerted narrative. I'm not denying that it's hard to know.
There are none.
Yeah,
There are none. There are no major political people that I know of that are banned because of what they said. But, again, you know, that's allowable. It is. These services can decide, you know, what they want. Now, the CEO of Parler apparently is also now being harassed at his house. He can't go home. It's really getting a little bit scary, is it not, with what is going on? I mean, there is now a definite censorship bug that is floating in this country. I mean, everybody sees it. And the question is, if you are allowed to use the internet, and we get into this thing about the FCC and use of something that is in the public domain, are you subject to certain rules and fair play rules? You know, I'm wondering about all of this. I mean, you grab a website on the internet and you decide I can ban you, but I won't ban you, and this and that. I mean, do you think the Supreme Court would take kindly to that?
Yeah, I mean, I think the Supreme Court has been, you know, pretty clear that these are not state actors, and their various arguments have been made over the last few years trying to sort of shoehorn one platform or another into the state action doctrine, and those have been pretty uniformly batted down. And I should say, you know, Parler itself is a site that a lot of folks say is not a total hands-off free speech haven, and in fact is very happy to ban you know, leftists who go on patrol that are, you know, not necessarily engaging in criminal threats. And I think that's sort of fine. If you want to have a website that's a a Christian website or a Muslim website or a left website or a right website.
Right.
And you say, you know, this is a space for those people. And if you want to come in and, you know, make arguments denying Christianity or denying Islam, that's not the place for that. Go somewhere else.
Right.
I think that's part of the great diversity of the Internet. And people are right to be concerned when there are a very tiny number of very dominant platforms and they're being very aggressive about trying to narrow the scope of allowable discussion. But I also think over the long term, if the platforms are wildly out of sync with the user base's sense of what's acceptable, that's not tenable. It won't last. We've already seen Parler emerge as in a response to a perception that Twitter was too restrictive. And they're in a bad space right now because of the context of January 6th. But I think there's going to continue being space for that. Amazon Web Services is not the only game in town. And indeed, they'll crop up somewhere else.
Right. But, you know, it may hasten the call for breaking up Google and breaking up Apple and breaking up Amazon and taking those services away from them and giving them some, you know what I mean? It may, whether it's right or wrong, when you stifle people like that, and they are, it starts to, it starts to offend a lot of people. Then you have to worry a little bit about what is going on. In the meantime, Julian, thank you so very much. It's such an interesting topic, and I really appreciate your time and your thoughts on it.
Thanks. Cheers. Thanks for having me.
All right, sir. Julian Sanchez of the Cato Institute. I'll tell you, it's not an easy, clean topic, you know? I mean, there are all kinds of things going on with censorship and whether you can do it in private businesses and the whole bit. Anyway, let us take our break. When we come back, the Master Barber will join us as the House is considering two different ways to get rid of the Donald.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey guys, Andrew's Master Barber Shop is open for business. The best hair cutter in Tampa Bay, standing ready to make you look like a million. But you'll need to call to grab a time that's right for you. So call 733-3773. That's 733-3773. And then get ready for a treat. No waiting. Beautiful, clean, and safe facilities. The best haircut you'll ever experience, and a great price. You can't ask for more, guys. That's Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. Call 733-3773. That's 733-3773.
It's a beautiful morning.
Hi, I'm Paul Allen.
And I'm Tracy Allen.
Please join us every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
You can also watch us on Facebook Live on our Good Morning Clearwater Facebook page and on YouTube. Just search Tantalk Radio Network.
Every morning we'll be talking about current events, sports.
Yay, sports!
News, entertainment, weather, and traffic. Have an opinion? You can call us.
That's right. Join us every weekday morning, 8 a.m. till 10 a.m. on the Tantalk Radio Network.
Are you a writer, inventor? Do you have questions about your intellectual property rights? Well, tune in every Tuesday and Thursday morning at 11 o'clock for Joy on Paper. Once a month, I will have a special guest, the writer's legal eagle, Bill Larson of Larson & Larson, who can answer your questions. Protect your valuable work. Email me your questions to patsy.radio@gmail.com and then listen in every Tuesday and Thursday at 11 a.m. right here on Tampa Bay's Tantalk Radio Network. That's patsy.radio@gmail.com.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back on a Tuesday, and I don't know. You know, first it's Capitol break-in, then it's impeachment, now it's censorship. Andrew the Master Barber is joining us. Andrew, I think all of this stuff is what worries me is where it's leading us to. The stifling of speech is always something you worry about, and we always thought about it in other countries, you know, like Russia, Nazi Germany and stuff like that, you know. They don't do it over here, but yet they are doing it here now.
No question about it, Paul. No question about it. You know what? You put a clown in as president, expect a circus.
Yeah.
Okay, they're trying to get rid of Trump because they don't want him to run again in 2024. He's scared. They're scared. They're afraid of him, Paul. 75 million voters. Okay, so they're going to try and negotiate and say, "But listen, we're going to give you, we're going to pardon you, your family, everything. You just sign here that says you're never going to run for political office again." And you know, he might, if he's smart, he might do that and start the Patriot Party because he doesn't need to run. He just needs to back it. But let's put in the right people.
I just can't see him agreeing to that. And I don't think there's any way that they're going to be able to stop him if he wants to run again. If I were him and I wanted to run again, I would run within the Republican Party and just, you know, primary it out and win again using the same message, because you got to stay within the Republican Party to have a chance to really become president.
I don't think you're going to see that, Paul.
No, I don't know that you will either, but you know.
Yeah, I really believe you're going to see another party that's going to be 75, 80 million strong. And you know what? The more they keep doing what they're doing, the better off they're making Trump, Paul.
Mm-hmm.
Everything they're doing. Now, look at the news. Oh, all 50 capitals are expecting a war next week or this weekend. People going to show up armed. It's all over the news. And you know what? It's a setup, Paul. It's a setup. The Democrats think they're going to put something like this into effect, brainwash the people that this is Trump people. And you know what? All they're doing is pouring gasoline on a fire, Paul.
Yeah. No, I think you're right. There is an FBI internal memo warning of plans for armed protests in all 50 state capitals. The FBI never comments on these kinds of things, but apparently an internal bureau memo is warning about it.
Let me ask you a question. If the people were going to be doing something, you think they'd be stupid enough to announce what they're going to do? This is not the Obama administration where we're telling them one time SEAL Team 6 is landing in the coordinates. Nobody would know nothing.
Mm-hmm.
This is a setup. They want you to be there. They want you to listen. They are trying their brainwashing techniques as we sit here today, Paul.
Mm-hmm. Well, they're not going to get anywhere with either a 25th Amendment ousting of Donald Trump or an impeachment. So everybody knows 2/3 of the Senate is not going to vote to impeach Donald Trump. 2/3 will not do it. They want, in the meantime, you know, Joe Biden is sort of sitting, I don't know where the hell he is, but I guess he's still somewhere in Delaware. Why doesn't he come out and say, look, stop this nonsense.
He hasn't been out since this thing all started in his campaign. Why would he come out now?
You know, he ought to come out and say, let's drop the impeachment. We got work to do.
He's not going to, Paul. They're telling him not to. He's doing whatever he's told.
Yeah.
Well, you see where they're talking now for the capital gains tax? He wants to implement the 40% tax on your capital gains when you sell your property.
So stupid.
Where do you think that's going, Paul?
Of course. I don't know that even with a 50-50 Senate, there are some people, you know, you can filibuster still in the Senate, which means you've got to have 60 votes to stop the filibuster. So if legislation comes up, let's say that the Republicans don't want, somebody can rise to filibuster, and then they call for the vote. You know how that works in the Senate. So there are ways to stop some of this nonsense from getting through. Does Joe Biden want to do that, though, and alienate the people, because it's going to affect the middle class if he does that?
Well, everything they're doing is dividing the country even more. Did you see in Virginia and Maryland now, where in their grocery stores where they have products, they're putting black-owned business?
Yeah.
I mean, how stupid are they?
Mm-hmm.
What do you think that's going to do to their business? It's going to divide people more? People are going to sit there and say, well, I'm going to buy this business. That's crazy.
No, it's crazy. It is crazy. We're alienating people that are just trying to live and make a living. Now they got something going. I forget which one of the states. Maybe it was in Washington, D.C. Anyway, a priority for black people for the virus shots. I'm thinking, what?
I might have to put on my sign. I got the electronic sign. I might have to put White Owns Business. I don't know.
I'm wondering if you would possibly be able to both do hair cutting and administer the virus shot. Would that be possible?
Well, you know, the barber used to pull teeth before, so yes. And remove bullets. It won't be the first time. But, this whole thing with the Capitol, every people are seeing what is set up, but they're trying to propaganda it so bad, it's unbelievable. Mm-hmm. But people are not going to tolerate this, boy. This country's got a gas burner underneath it, and it's ready to blow the water right off the stove.
Now, what about this statement from some people that Trump did acknowledge he bears some blame for what happened in the Capitol? He doesn't say that he's the direct cause of it, and we're going to talk a little bit later about there's no way he would ever be found guilty of insurrection. If it ever went before the Supreme Court, there is a case involving the Ku Klux Klan that they will fall back on.
He didn't say anything to incite a riot, period.
Right.
Listen to the speech. He said nothing. And he said, well, we have to fight. What does that mean? You got to go there and burn a building? Look at Minneapolis. Look at Washington. Okay, look at Portland.
Right.
Those were just peaceful protests, Paul. They burned half the city to $7 billion worth of damage. Yeah. But yet that was just a little enough of this crap.
Well,
Paul,
the way I looked at it in Portland is they needed a nightlight.
Yeah, probably. You know there's nothing else to do there.
What do you think? We're talking, by the way, with the proprietor of the Barber Poll, which mainstream America really does relate to. What do you think about Mike Pence and the way he's been acting now?
Paul, he's got no cajuns. He's a typical politician. And all the politicians act the same, Paul.
Mm-hmm.
Again, it's like the Indian said, don't ever think that the left wing is different than the right wing. They both belong to the same bird.
So what should he do? What should he have done? I mean, he was in the Capitol.
He should have spoke up against it. He should have said that I believe this is false. And anything he could have done to cancel those votes, he should have done.
He was in the Capitol building when they broke in. And there was some comments, I don't know if you saw it, about why didn't Donald Trump call and see how he was doing while the Capitol was under siege, like placing a...
Oh, under siege. Give me a break, will you please? They need to watch the movie Under Siege and see what it's about.
Yeah.
Well, okay? Mm-hmm. This was nothing. What happened there was nothing compared to what happened to these other cities.
Well,
you've got
people.
A million people, you're going to have a couple of morons.
Yeah, but
somewhere.
Five people died in it.
But, Paul, when you get a crowd that big, how many police officers got killed in their riots? How many other people got killed by
I'm not justifying it.
Because this is the Capitol building, a sacred bullcrap.
Mm-hmm. I'm not justifying all the other things. You know I'm not.
Okay,
breaking
well, that's
in
what happens,
and doing
Paul,
all of that,
crowd.
No question about
Trump,
it.
But, Trump had nothing to do to incite it
right,
whatsoever.
Okay. Yeah.
It was the people themselves. It was started off by Antifa breaking in.
Well, you don't
Two
know that
people
that,
were
you
stupid. Oh, we know that that's
no,
for
you
sure.
Don't.
The guy with the horns.
Andrew, you don't know that Antifa broke in. It was maybe some Antifa people in the group.
That's what
that
I'm
was
saying.
That was mostly Trump people that broke through.
Far-right
Trump people. Sure they are. Sure they
were. I know
were.
There were some Trump people that were stupid that went in there. Don't get me wrong.
Oh, no. There might have been a handful of Antifa people. I think there might have been. I do. I think there were some that could care less about either Trump or Biden. And they just like to go in and ruin things, you know.
Let's see what happens this weekend with the so-called 50 capitals going to be taken over with armed Trump. Let's see what happens with this one. Let's see how many armed Trump people show up.
Yeah, that's a good point. Okay, so what do you think about the actual inauguration? Do you think that there's going to be any trouble? Of course, they're going to have the National Guard all over the place when Biden gets inaugurated on the 20th. Do you think there's going to be any trouble there in D.C. at that time?
No. The only trouble going to be is the inauguration, letting Biden in office. Yeah. That's the only trouble going to happen.
Yeah.
But other than that, Paul, you're not going to see nothing yet. You know what? Let the clowns get in there. Let them keep stirring the pot. Then let things happen. You aren't going to see people jump and go crazy right now. Let them hang themselves. They will. They got enough rope to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. So, overall, I don't know. It seems like we're on a downward spiral right now. It's a little bit scary out there. We got the virus going on. We've got this censorship of a conservative voice. occurring. It's a, you know, it's kind of a cloudy, dreary thing. Are we going to break out of it soon, Andrew? Will the people rise above it and, you know what I mean, take back the country?
The people are going to rise above it, but I don't think it's going to be peaceful, Paul.
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to be peaceful. Thing. Because the only way you're going to stop this, listen, the vote doesn't work anymore. We know that. The vote does not work. The system does not work. People's rights are being taken away. They're going to, let me tell you something. When this goes down, the liberals are going to be miserable. You know, they don't realize they're going to get hurt in their pocket.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, well, let's face it, at least 50% of the liberals work. The other 50% get welfare.
There's a lot of them on welfare. I agree with that. But we can't, I mean, uprisings never accomplish anything except killing
people.
They
got your freedom in 1776, didn't they?
Yeah, but what are we going to do, start all over again? Is that what you're thinking?
You know, sometimes that's what's got to be, it's got to be.
Starting all over again, huh?
No, well, I don't think we'll start all over again. We'll just take over halfway through.
Okay. I mean, this is going to be sort of like France, Bastille, and all of that stuff.
Paul, you know, I can't predict what's going to happen, but I can tell you it's not going to be a good year.
No.
Okay, there is no sunshine so far, Paul.
Yeah. Well, I'm hoping that we can do it peacefully. I think if people rise up and do it the right way.
Well, you know, the easiest way to do it, Paul? There's nobody file income taxes.
Yeah, that's true.
That's the easiest way to
that's
do it. 80 million
protest.
People, let's not file income tax.
Yeah.
What would happen, Paul?
No, it would scare the
message,
it would scare the it would make them stand up straight and scare the bejesus out of them. That's for sure. Yeah,
that's the first thing I would do. But getting the people to do it, that's another thing. Because wait a second, I got money coming back. I can't go without this $59.
I need
that's
my money
ticket.
Back. Yeah.
You know, the money isn't going to be worth it. Nobody file an income tax.
Uh-oh. On that note, my friend, I look forward to talking with you again on Friday. Maybe things will be a little bit better. Let's see what happens. But thank you so much, Andrew.
You got it, Paul. Stop by the shop today.
Okay, I will.
All right.
Thank you very much, my friend.
Bye.
Okay. Andrew the Master Barber. You know, normally I get off the phone, Ed, and I'm energetic about it, but it's just so depressing out there right now. I don't know where we're going. We just don't want to see people's rights to speak stifled. However, we can keep it give everybody that opportunity. If you're afraid to talk now, you know, they shut us down. They shut conservative speech down on university. You know, we knew that. The universities were shutting and screaming down people that had been invited to speak. Then they stopped inviting conservatives to universities. Now they're trying to shut them down on, you know, on platforms on the internet. Where everybody thought, you know, at least you can voice your feelings.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember about 2 months ago that President Trump wanted to shut down TikTok because of its Chinese involvement?
Yes.
And how the same people that are doing it now were livid back then that he was trying to shut it down.
That's true.
But now it's okay.
For some reason, we got a lot of people in bed with China. That's number one, including our friend
and
Biden.
He wanted to shut it down because he felt that that was, it was... You know, it was infected, basically. You know, and now when it's the going the other way, now it doesn't matter. Or you know, now they have a different opinion.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it's, you know, the internet with all of its the good things about it. I mean, we talk forever about this. Has opened up everything in the world so that we're all able to cross lines.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking back when you didn't have an internet, and you had a country, and the country was kind of enclosed.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing seeped out of it that easily. Now, it's completely open. It's almost like an open border.
I mean, if anything incites violence and stuff, it's the internet. All the fake stuff that's out there.
Yeah.
That's easy for people to put out there or news organizations to put out there.
We don't know how to, we still don't know how to handle the internet, do we?
No.
I mean, like you say, it can cause unrest, civil unrest. It can do all kinds of things. It can be a nasty place. I mean, just try to get on Facebook and start up a conversation on anything. Somebody comes in and starts saying nasty things about something.
Maybe Kim Jong-un in North Korea's got it right. He doesn't allow the internet there.
I'm beginning to think we ought to just get rid of it. Go back. Maybe get rid of the TV and just go back to the radio and see if we can work with that. Maybe we'd get more things done.
Yeah.
You know. Anyway. Let's take a real short break, Ed, and then come back. We gotta talk a little bit about, the top 10 and things like that.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey guys, Andrew's Master Barber Shop is open for business. The best hair cutter in Tampa Bay, standing ready to make you look like a million. But you'll need to call to grab a time that's right for you. So call 733-3773. That's 733-3773. And then get ready for a treat. No waiting. Beautiful, clean, and safe facilities. The best haircut you'll ever experience and a great price. You can't ask for more, guys. That's Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. Call 733-3773. That's 733-3773.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we're back. Freedom Works. And as promised, I want to talk a little bit about why Donald Trump will probably never be convicted of inciting a riot. A 1969 Supreme Court ruling tossed out the conviction of a Ku Klux Klan leader. And it may also shield Trump for inciting last week's Capitol riot. The court said in its landmark decision in a case called Brandenburg versus Ohio that the constitutional right to free speech protects inflammatory rhetoric unless it's intended to incite imminent lawless action and is likely to incite or produce such action. So the Supreme Court back then overturned the conviction of a Ku Klux Klansman, Charles Brandenburg, in Ohio, who had been prosecuted under a law for making a speech in which he advocated violence against African Americans and Jews. So in effect, you would have to say, standing in front of the Capitol building, I want you to immediately pick up your pitchforks, pick up your sticks and bats, and I want you to go and break those windows, and away we go. And that's basically what the Supreme Court said.
There was a printout of everything he had said leading up to that,
yeah.
And I couldn't find one sentence in there where...
Of course not.
He even said,
that's why
let's do this peacefully... Respect of the men in blue, you know, the Capitol Police,
right.
They're on our side.
Yeah, that's why it's never going to happen. Now, before we get to our top 10, Ed, did you watch the college football championship game last night between Alabama and Ohio State?
I watched some of it before it got out of hand, so that means I turned it off at halftime.
Yeah. Well, they were matching touchdowns in the first part of the first half, weren't they?
Yeah.
I guess Alabama's just too doggone good, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, enough about that. Enough about that. It is time for our top 10. And a couple of shows ago, we did the top 10 metro areas where people were moving in the most. And we're using United Van Lines because, heck, they can look, you know, at all the states and they can see how many people are using them to come out, how many are using them to come in. So this time we're going to find out what are the top 10 metros with the highest move-out ratio. So let's see, Ed, if you can come anywhere close.
Okay.
If you get the state number one, okay?
Mm-hmm.
We'll see. All right, here we go. Top 10 metros, highest move-outs. Number 10, Lake Illinois. That's Lake County, Illinois, and it's north of Chicago. It's towards Wisconsin a little bit, up there right at the top of the border, where 68% using United moved out, and 32% moved in. All right, number 9. Middlesex, New Jersey. Middlesex, I'm not sure if that's in the middle of the state or not. 69% moved out. And I guess that leaves 31 that didn't, or moved in. Number 8. Oh, I got some friends here. Bridgeport, Connecticut. Also 69%, I guess maybe 69 and change. Moved out of beautiful Bridgeport. Number 7. Bremerton, Washington. I'm not sure where that is. Are you familiar with the state of Washington?
No.
I think it must be around Seattle, Tacoma, maybe. I don't know why they would move out of Bremerton, Washington. Maybe they don't have enough mountains around them.
Or maybe it was those in that area where those non-domestic terrorist people were.
Oh, maybe they're right about that. Well, another 69%+. Moved out of Bremerton. All right. Number 6. Oh, it pains me to say it, but Chicago.
Yeah.
Chicago. Yeah. 69% of the people moving in and out moved out of the Windy City. Number five.
You don't have to look at that mayor anymore.
What a nutbag that one is, isn't she? She's weird.
They call her Beetlejuice. You remember that movie?
Yes, I do. That means that, what's his name, the actor could play her, Keaton.
Yeah.
Michael Keaton playing the mayor of Chicago, ladies and gentlemen. All right, that's enough of that. Where am I? Now you got me all confused. Number five, Newark, New Jersey. Mm. Newark, New Jersey, not surprising. 72%.
Wow.
Moved out. Number four, New York.
Of course.
Now, we feel bad. Do we feel bad for New York and all of... I feel bad for New York.
I think
it's a wonderful city.
I do.
I feel bad for what's going on. And anyway, 72% of people are moving out of there. All right. Number three. Trenton, New Jersey. Trenton. Wow. Now, that is in northern New Jersey.
Boy, that area is taking a hit.
Yes, it has. Mm. You're absolutely right. 76% in Trenton, New Jersey. All right. Number two. Bergen, New Jersey.
Okay.
Poor New Jersey.
Whoever's left in New Jersey, turn the lights
Please.
Out. You're the last one to leave.
Pull the nightlight out of there, too. We need it. 81%. 81%. That left only 19% that moved in. And why the hell they moved in, I'll never know.
And all you, it's a trickle-down effect, too, because all these people that are actually leaving means businesses have to close up.
Terrible.
Yeah.
And how do they fund their government? Well, that's okay. We don't mind that. Mm-hmm. They're going to have to cut back on their horrible their salaries. I feel so bad. Mm-hmm. But, all right, Ed, we're at number one. What do you think?
I'm going to go...
Let me do this. It's not fair to ask you to tell me the metro area. So I'll just find out by asking you the state.
Michigan.
You think the state of Michigan. All right. We'll find out here. That would have been a good one. And you're probably thinking about around the Detroit area and all that. Okay, that's fair. Actually, Michigan did not make our top 10. It's Nassau, New York.
Really?
Nassau, New York.
Nassau County. I'm from there. Yes.
Tell
that's
me about
on Long
it.
Island.
Where is it?
Well, Long Island is split in two. You have Nassau and Suffolk County. Suffolk is towards the east. Nassau is towards the west. It's almost split in half. So you got places like... East Meadow, Levittown. God, I'm getting old. I forget. It's where JFK is, and it's.
Why are they moving out of Nassau? I always thought Nassau always reminded me of like a well-to-do area.
But I believe if you got a real good job, you have to go to the city, and that becomes a commute. And with everything that's going on, you know.
Okay. So
people can't pay their bills.
81%. I'm moving out on your beloved hometown of Nassau. All right. We will be back Friday, everybody. Take heart, keep the faith, and remember, freedom works.